Sports Radio 1290, CFRW, Winnipeg.
I don't believe what I just saw.
A division of Bell Media. Sports Radio 1290 presents the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 3 hours of in-depth analysis, insight, and opinion into Canada's game. Now, here's Drew, Richard, and Ezra.
In the morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on this Saturday morning on Sports Radio 1290. We're waiting to hear from Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager of the new Winnipeg NHL franchise. We'll look forward to hearing from him in a couple of moments as soon as we get his phone call.
He just decided not to call us, and now he's calling Andrew Ladd to negotiate the deal.
Yeah, he heard our analysis of the situation. And he said, "Oh, okay, now I know what I should be offering." No, right?
I'm sure they've already been negotiating, and I think it certainly helps that Cheveldayoff has a relationship with Ladd from Chicago. That certainly serves as a nice platform to be able to get something done. I'm not so sure. Again, I do have some skepticism in terms of if Winnipeg's numbers are similar to Atlanta's, because Atlanta has been fairly generous with contracts in the past. And you just hope that Atlanta didn't set the bar too high, and Winnipeg comes in too low, and there's some kind of disagreement.
Regardless, if they had set the bar that high, you would think that a deal would have already been done.
Well, yeah, Drew, but you have to assume that the Winnipeg, Chipman and company would have said, no deals can be signed until we get control of the organization.
Fair point, but they still somehow managed to sign Rick Dudley to that contract.
That was in February.
Yeah, but it sounds like this was has been on the go for a number of months.
Remember the whole Phoenix thing. If they fell through, then it would have been so. They were going to control it that far ahead.
That's true, I suppose. But it is it's an interesting dynamic when you have sort of two separate negotiations that are taking place over the same player. And right. if we've seen anything from the negotiations that took effect with, say, Dustin Byfuglien, Atlanta wasn't afraid to overpay guys.
And also what needs to be factored in as far as, you know, Kevin Cheveldayoff's negotiations with Andrew Ladd and his agent is that, and this goes back to Richie also mentioned this in his analysis, they've got quite a few RFAs they have to sign too. So this isn't something I don't believe that will last that long because, you know, they have other work to do. It's simple as that. See, and then you have RFAs, Richie, and then UFAs. You got, maybe they'll sign a couple UFAs too, right?
They might sign UFAs. I mean, they don't have any really significant UFAs on their current
worry too much about. But they certainly have a lot of work that they have to do. So you want to, you know, you have a checklist and you want to keep checking things off that list.
I mean, quickly, in terms of UFAs, they have Radek Dvorak, who's a veteran speedster, or was still a respectable kind of fourth line right winger, maybe third line if you need him. Eric Bolton, a tough guy. And then Freddie Meyer, defenseman. And that's it for UFAs. Yeah. So the UFA pool is not deep at all for them.
Yeah. It wouldn't be surprised, Richie. I guess I'd have to say that I wouldn't be surprised if none of those guys are back.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked, Ezzy, if none of those guys are back. Yeah. I would agree with you.
Because those guys were acquisitions in season or late in the season too, anyways, right?
Yeah, I mean the Dvorak trade hadn't made no sense to me, but
they were pretty much out of it. That happened at the trade deadline, didn't it?
It's weird.
Like they were two teams that were both out of it.
Yeah.
Just I'd love swapping. To see Nicholas
well, no,
Fours
they got
on this team.
Fours in Florida, so I mean, it was worth it for Florida.
Oh, for Florida, yeah. But I mean, I don't understand.
Talon and Dudley are buddies, too, so I don't really know what happened there, but.
Well, anyways. One of those mysteries of life, right?
Bergfors is an RFA, so they retain his rights. He was the only real. I don't know. Anyways, that's
for another day, Drew.
For another day. When we have Rick Dudley and Dale Talon on the line, we'll ask them about that trade.
I think the most interesting in terms of how to sign a player and who to sign and what he's worth to me. Far and away is Zach Bogosian.
A wild card because he hasn't reached his potential, especially statistically. He doesn't really have much to back up. You know, he has some, but not a ton to back up a huge money deal. And I feel like it's a very similar situation to where Eric Johnson was, and I wrote about this, if I'm maybe repeating myself, if you read the article on thelegalcurve.com, to Eric Johnson in St. Louis. Hadn't yet reached his potential. The team was trying to figure out what they wanted. He was trying to figure out what he wanted. And clearly the team wasn't sold on him because they ended up trading him. But they signed a two-year deal, which meant they weren't sold on him. Maybe he thought, this is the thinking going both ways, guys. Zach Bogosian, if you sign a two-year deal, you think, well, I'm going to prove everybody that I'm great. And in 2 years, I'm going to be dominant defense and I'm going to get top-line money. Alternatively, if you're a Winnipeg franchise and you don't necessarily think you're sold on him, well, 2 years, I like him to prove that he's good enough. If he's not, we'll get him at a discount again. It also gives us a better idea. So we don't lock into a long-term deal and either we have security or don't have security. It's a risk on both sides.
There's a risk-reward there.
It is a risk-reward.
It's a risk-reward. I mean, if you do go longer than 2 years and you might get stuck with a guy who doesn't develop the way you expect him to.
Right.
Now, everybody in this room expects Zach Bogosian to be a top-flight NHL defenseman.
Yeah.
On this topic though, Richie, how as a general manager and his agent are you able to manage those expectations? Because Bogosian, you know, hasn't had a 50-point season yet, but everyone's expecting him to be that kind of top offensive defenseman. I mean, how are they going to balance that with length of contract, you know, the amount he gets?
Well, you know, he'll get qualified, obviously. They retain his rights, they'll qualify him at his current contract. He's over $1 million, so I believe he gets qualified at the rate he was at last year. They will try and negotiate. You qualify to retain his rights. They're not going to accept a qualifying offer going forward. They're just going to qualify him to retain his rights.
That's right.
How it works is you have to offer him this base benchmark.
That's right.
And that way you get to, you ensure that you hold on to his ability to match his RFA rights. They're never going to accept
that. Well, for a guy like Robbie Schrempp, yeah. If you were to qualify him, he'd almost assuredly accept the qualifying offer.
Because he's not going to get any more than
right.
the qualifying
offer. If
you're
Zach Bogosian, you reject the qualifying offer, but by qualifying him,
the
Winnipeg
retains his rights.
And he
remains first right of refusal almost.
Remains an RFA.
Yeah,
so
right.
When I was comparing Bogosian to, you know, two kind of players, right-handed shooting defensemen who are offensively gifted, maybe more so than Bogosian, maybe not, Chris Letang and Eric Johnson, similar situations coming off their entry-level deal. Eric Johnson signed a 2-year deal at $2.6 million a year. Chris Letang signed a 4-year deal at $3.5 million a year. And there's risk involved in both. Pittsburgh's assuming that in 4 years, they have Letang for 4 years. He's going to develop. In 2 years, he won't be stagnant in his development and will become better. He has, by the way, become terrific.
Rich, you have to think that Letang, based on the cup in the last couple of years, he could be a $5 or $6 million
player.
That's the
point. So he takes the risk of a long... He takes a long-term security,
yeah.
And the risk for him is if he signs a short... If he were to have signed a short-term deal, Letang would be up for way more money now. Exactly.
Yeah.
So the team takes a risk that he's good, that he develops, as they hope, in 4 years. And the reward, of course, is that if he does develop, as they hope, they get value.
Right.
Now, Johnson, they kind of both took some risks. So when analyzing that contract, I thought, for Bogosian, a 3-year deal right in the middle, about $3.1 million, seems about right in that ballpark.
Yeah.
Now, term's always an issue. How long do they want to go? How short do they want to go?
But if you develop, I mean, it seems like that would be a reasonable contract for both sides. Bogosian,
you wouldn't want to go anything less than 2 years, in my opinion.
No, of course not. But you go 3 years, he develops as they expect him to. If the team hopes he develops that way.
Right.
Is he a UFA then, or still an RFA?
He's still an RFA.
So he's still an RFA, so you might have to pay him big money at that point, but if he's turned into a top-flight NHLer, then it's bonus for everybody.
He's 25 years old, right?
Right. Exactly. So, I mean,
he's only 20 now.
That's right.
He's 21
young.
Soon.
Yeah, so to be 23, 24.
Yep. Yeah, should be all good. So, just waiting on Kevin Cheveldayoff any minute now. Just heard from Scott Brown he's going to double-check on that.
Do you want to go to an early break and come back with it?
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Because we want to go long on the interview.
Yeah, we want to talk to him, go in-depth with Mr. Cheveldayoff. So why don't we go take an early commercial break, and then we'll go try and come back with him. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Let's go to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager of the new Winnipeg NHL Hockey Club. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Well, thanks, guys. My pleasure.
Thanks very much for joining us. Welcome to Winnipeg also.
It is. It's been great. I've went out to a couple of different restaurants over the last couple of days. The fans are coming up, shaking my hand, asking me when we're going to win the cup. No pressure at all.
If there's one thing we have in the city, it's good restaurants. So in that case, I think he'll be well taken care of.
No question.
We want to start off with talking about the transition from working in the AHL with the Chicago Wolves to the NHL with the Blackhawks as the assistant general manager. How do you think the transition will be going from an assistant general manager role to that of a full-fledged general manager in the NHL?
Well, I think you're going to take bits and pieces from all your past experiences, and one thing that in any level that you're at, you're always watching, you're always learning. When I was in the American League, much like Zinger, you know, at the American League and the International Hockey League, when you run your own show, you come up with your own style and you deal with things in your own fashion. For myself, when I got to the National Hockey League with With the Blackhawks, you're learning from a lot of different people that, have experience, different realms of the game. So you kind of mesh it all together and kind of pull from the memory banks and make your decisions.
Kevin, how many more people do you hope to hire to work in the GM's office?
Well, we're, actually that's what Zinger and I are kind of hunkered down here at the MTS Center today and going through a lot of the infrastructure stuff, going through a lot of the from the staffing, the different things that need to be done to the dressing room, the different things that, need to be done, from top to bottom within the organization and planning out those things as the summer goes on. So there's going to be some additions. We do have some decisions to make on some people that were part of the Thrasher organization there's some different commitments that need to be talked about there, and those are the things that we're working on right now.
Yeah, but Andrew Ladd came to town this week, and much was made about that, and rightfully so. And people talked about, his RFA status, and while it's certainly important, and he's obviously symbolic in that he's the captain of the franchise, he's a cup winner, it seems to me and some people in this room that maybe Zach Bogosian may be the more likely candidate for an offer sheet come July 1st. Can you speak a little bit about, the risk of an offer sheet and your experience with that last year with Nicholas Chalmerson in Chicago?
Well, offer sheets are something that, can be very, very troublesome to an organization if they do not have a lot of cap space to match one of those. And that's kind of, in the Chicago situation, obviously I think a team, that was really up against the cap, the offer sheet was a very, very, I guess, legitimate way to maybe potentially lose a player. But in our situation here, if someone offered an offer sheet to a Zach Bogosian or any of our RFAs that, we certainly have the wherewithal and the cap space to match it. So I'm not overly concerned about that, other than offer sheets can be inflationary in the whole marketplace. And to me, it's more of a systemic issue as opposed to an issue that relates directly to us.
Dustin Byfuglien's a player that you had in Chicago, and then you guys had to trade because of the cap problems. And when he was in Chicago, he played predominantly forward, but also some defense. And then moving over to Atlanta, he moved over and he's playing top 4 minutes on defense, and he's now getting paid like probably a top two defenseman. Is there any chance at all that the organization would move him back to forward, or is he entrenched in the defensive position?
Well, it's a very good question, because someone that has the flexibility as Buff, that has played both positions, certainly that it is intriguing when you've got a player of his size that can skate like he can. It's kind of there's going to be lots of people with lots of different opinions. So I think Buff is comfortable on defense from his where he feels he is most comfortable playing. But that's something that when we get into the coaching staff and get all that situation, we'll have those kind of discussions with them.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're joined by Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager of the new Winnipeg NHL franchise. Kevin, moving to goaltender, you had Andre Pavlich during your time with Chicago. He backstopped you guys to a Calder Cup in 2007, 2008. Do you have any reason to believe that he won't be a top-flight NHL goaltender for years to come?
Well, Pav is a guy that, I have a ring on my finger from a Calder Cup championship with, and if it weren't for him, I don't know that I would have had it on, because he played exceptionally well when the chips were down, and I think you saw that this year when he went to the World Championships and was a top goaltender, played like a top goaltender over there. So, again, an evolution of a goaltender takes time. He's a young player still in those respects, and learning along the way. And he's someone that I have high expectations for and high hopes that, he can be someone that, will lead us, in a lot of games. But again, it's a maturation process for him as well. And learning that position takes time, both physically and mentally.
Kevin, you've gone from drafting in the mid to late range of the first round with Chicago to now having a top 10 selection, specifically 7th overall. How familiar are you with the top prospects in this year's draft class?
Well, I did do a little bit of scouting, you know, from the amateur standpoint, you know, with the Blackhawks. But you know, again, there is an infrastructure of amateur scouts that that we are you know, going to tap into from the organization. But I, you know, I was at the combines. I met with the majority of them. We will be meeting, you know, at the draft with a lot of these players. You know, there's going to be some you know, some intensive kind of discussions. And, you know, we'll probably bring some video in as well and some, you know, different things to make sure that, you know, the player we do get is going to be something that fits into, you know, what we want within the organization. So I have a familiarity with them, but there's also other people in the organization that that will have a greater knowledge of them as well.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager of the new Winnipeg NHL franchise.
Kevin, we don't yet know who's going to be the coach of the team, but we know that when you were in Chicago, you employed John Anderson, who was a very successful coach, and maybe more so thinking about the style of the coach that, you know, fans aren't really sure what we're going to see in terms of the hiring of a coach. Anderson, it seemed like, at least in Atlanta, he was more of a free-flowing coach, a little bit more offensive freedom. Do you have a certain style that you wish your coach to employ, or is that more based on the personalities involved?
Well, I think that, you know, I'm going to tell you right now that I'm not a big fan of a coach that, you know, doesn't want to play an up-tempo game. I like the game played at a high pace. I like the game played where, you know, defensemen get the puck to the forwards quickly and you go on the attack. Not a big, big fan of the trap per se as a major system for your team. Certainly at some points in time you have to employ those, but I want a coach that is I guess has the ability to adapt to situations, to, you know, to go on the attack or sometimes to be more conservative, and you know, those are things that there's nuances of the game that you know, the different coaches, even though it might be, you know, teaching the same things or doing the same things, have their own way of doing it. So it's something that will evolve, you know. But again, I want someone that, you know, is going to be a good communicator to the players, and I want someone that is you know, is going to be able to you know, to relate with today's style of game.
You know, Kevin, right now there's a lot of money in the salary cap tied up in the defense corps and a lot of overall cap space. Would you consider buying out any of the players that are currently under contract?
Well, I think buyout is you know, is certainly an option that can be employed at a certain point in time if you feel like it's necessary. But, you know, there's still going to be a little bit more discussion, you know, on that with respect to whether that is an option for us or a direction we're going to take. There's going to be an evaluation process here that that's still, you know, has to happen. But you know, again, there's lots of different things that we can employ if we need to, and we'll see where it goes.
Kevin, we'll let you go on this final question. Last season in Chicago, Scotty Bowman was in and around the Blackhawks organization. Two-part question here. Were you able to avail yourself of his vast hockey insight and his knowledge? And throughout your career as a hockey executive, who has been your greatest influence?
Well, Scotty's a great guy to be around and to learn from. And if you get to know him, he's always very inquisitive about you know, the game. He watches the game through you know, just unbelievable scrutiny, and he can tell you line combinations back from the 50s, and you know, it is an amazing guy to be around, an amazing guy to talk to. In Chicago, he would come in, you know, for our scouting meetings, and you know, maybe one or two times throughout the year, but would be around us during the playoffs all the time. And the coaches, you know, were able to use him as a resource, you know, at their beck and call and their disposal. So it was a great situation. But you know, just to be able to talk with him and to you know, to listen to him and be able to bounce things off of, it's something that moving forward, you know, I'm still going to have that ability, because if anyone knows Scotty, he eats, sleeps, and drinks the game and just loves talking about it. And now more so than someone I worked with, he's a good friend.
Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager of the new Winnipeg NHL franchise, thanks very much for joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We'll let you get back to work with Zinger, but we have him out. We have him coming up at 11:30, so maybe now is a good time to break for lunch or something.
Yeah, no question. It's we got lots of work ahead of us, but you know, it's an exciting time. It's an exhilarating time, and we're both looking forward to it.
Wonderful. Best of luck to you, Kevin. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Take care.
Thank you. Welcome to Winnipeg.
Thank you.
That's Kevin Cheveldayoff.
One thing, he gives a heck of an interview.
Yeah, he does. Boy, that was just, you know, polished and top-notch and insightful and, you know, honest. Yeah, he, you know what?
Honest, absolutely.
It's too often nowadays, they, you know, interviews or executives or whomever give pat answers, and that's their prerogative. But I thought this was great insight, and he was honest, which I think is a great trait to see in a general manager.
He is the busiest guy in the city right now, along with Zinger and Mark Chipman and everyone, Scott Brown at True North. So we appreciate these guys coming on. It's not easy to have them on when they're busy at work. They're working, so it's great to have them on. And once again, it's great to have him in our city now as our GM, because we're all excited for him to sign players and draft our first ever pick. So it's great.
I love his comment about people are coming up to say hello and when are you going to win the cup?
Yeah,
you know, haven't played a game. You know, still trying to put the team together. Don't really have a name yet, but when are you going to win the cup?
In terms of from a fan perspective, I would say this: from a fan perspective, I would be very happy with many of the answers he gave there.
He seems to know the organization. I mean, not that should come as a surprise, but he knows the organization, he knows the personnel, he knows, you know, what should be expected, and he knows how to go forward with
by
it.
By his philosophies there, Drew, to me, I think that they're good ones.
Yeah.
And I think that the organization seems to be in great hands. I hope that our listeners got some nice insight into that one.
And of course, unique. If you missed any of the interview, it will be available on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, and I suspect we'll probably splice it up and put the interview in a standalone on the website at www.illegalcurve.com. Great interview. Going back to the name debate, Jim Gentonio, who works for the Arizona Republic, right?
Yeah, we've had him on here before.
Tweeted us, and I think this has a great appeal to it. He says that the Winnipeg Phoenix would be a fantastically ironic name for the new franchise.
Yeah. It sure would.
Rise of the Phoenix?
I just think it would be, there's a lot of appeal to that to me. I don't know if it's a little bit too tongue-in-cheek. I don't know if it's a little too, is it snarky? I don't know if it's snarky, but, you know, Winnipeg Phoenix, I can see them chanting "Go Jets, go!" You know,
back to the focusing back on to the interview we just had, Drew.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
No, Winnipeg Phoenix is, you know, we'll find out the name here, and it won't be the Phoenix, but it's funny. I've heard that one before, though.
Yeah,
it's mildly funny.
No one goes
so far as to say it's really funny. Jim Gentonio was a good guest on the show, but
I'm not sure that it's not. Are you so sure that it's not a possibility?
All right, Drew.
Anything's a possibility because there's no name, but...
Drew, might be time for a break after a comment like that.
I don't know. You never know. You got to think outside the box every now and then. You never know what it's going to be.
I thought you thought outside the box when you ordered Taco Bell last night, Drew.
We're on to my food jokes. So we're right on schedule for today's show, I think, right? We've made the age jokes and we're on to the food jokes. Is that right?
One thing I like to point out, there's a number of things in that interview that I thought were very encouraging. I think one thing is, and not only is it aesthetically pleasing, but I think it's within the concept and the ideas of winning hockey this day and age, and that's that he likes a high up-tempo system. Puck movement, defense, up to the forwards, quick, quick, quick. This day and age, you need to play that way, in my opinion, to win. Vancouver plays that way. Many successful teams play that way. I'm happy to hear that. And for fans' perspective, it's more exciting to watch. It's a better game. More flow, more forechecking, more speed. And I was encouraged by all of that. Now, this team has some nice speedsters and the nice skaters on the back end. Enstrom's a great skater. Bogosian's a great skater. Bufflin can move for a big guy. So there's some speed element here that's nice, and they can take advantage of it and make
a good first pass. You can't play this up-tempo style without having the ability to make the good first pass.
Absolutely.
And the strength of this team is definitely on defense, and these young guys can definitely move the puck out of their zone at the blink of an eye.
And you know what, Drew? You're exactly right. And for all that he's taking criticism, and I didn't like the trade now, and we have argued about on this show before about Thomas Gaberle. Thomas Gaberle's puck movement since Game 3 on, in my opinion, has been terrific. And why it might not show up on the score sheet, his transition play and his puck movement through the neutral zone and out of his own zone has been very, very strong. And I think that's an element that sometimes gets overlooked.
And it's a crucial element for lots of teams in the NHL. If you want to employ an aggressive style, you need to be able to move the puck immediately.
Absolutely.
That's what it boils down to. Let's head to commercial break. When we come back, some of your calls, some of your tweets, some of your emails, and Craig Heisinger still to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290.
Are you
Moving into our final hour here on this week's edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, I am Drew Mindell, host of this program, joined in studio by Ezra Ginsberg and Richard Pollock. Producer Tim gets us on and off the air like the expert that he is. And Michael Remus is operating the R-Desk over at www.illegalcurve.com. Before we go forward with the show, I'd like to remind all of our listeners to check out Sports Week Review with Matt and Marcoux. Every Sunday here on Sports Radio 1290, they're going to do a recap of the week that was in the sporting world, and we do always recommend that you tune into that fine program. On this week's show, Kelly Butler of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and Goldeye's great Max Poulin will join Matt and Joel this Sunday.
Aren't the Goldeyes retiring Max Poulin's number?
And that transitions me into my next point, which is that there's going to be a very special edition of Hustler and Lawless live from Shaw Park coming up on Tuesday, a couple hours before the Winnipeg Goldeyes will officially retire Max Poulin's number. So be sure to
go to game, Drew.
Oh, maybe we will.
But then again, we'd have to hang out outside of the radio studio, which
we don't actually have to sit together. We don't have to sit together. I'm okay with not sitting with you.
Yeah, we could get, like, you could sit on one end of the Shaw Park and one end of the field can sit in the other end, and then Richie could meet us after.
I'm sitting at second base.
You're sitting at second base?
Yeah.
That's a strange
It's funny, because Richie usually only hits homers, so.
there's a line there I'm not even going to touch.
Even, Drew.
I'm not even touching that one. Anyway, so be sure to stay tuned, of course, to Sports Radio 1290. Just leave your dial set on it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to change it. You know you're getting the best in sports coverage.
I do. I only have one.
You only have one preset and it's 1290?
Not only do I have one preset, I have a special radio only goes to Sports Radio 1290. I can't even go to any other station.
That's a good radio. You can't argue with that radio. Yep. But, I mean, just be sure to keep it there. You know that you're going to be set for all your sports news. Between us, between Hustler and Lawless, between Matt and Marcoux, you know that this is the station to be on for sports news in this city. And
I'll tell you one thing quickly.
Yeah.
I love 1290. Kevin Cheveldayoff, by the way, getting the reaction about how people love how honest and candid he is. Love that. Love the fact that we know Zinger's already honest and candid. So we're going to be getting two honest and thoughtful people coming here, and people who are, I like, and again, going back to that from the first hour, there's no groupthink here. They're individuals with opinions. Whether they agree or disagree, they're going to make decisions.
They're going to talk them out. They're not going to.
Very reassuring.
There's no yes men.
Very reassuring. And, you know, I find it to be similar to them. I mean, they make an analogy to baseball here, the recent hiring by the Blue Jays of John Farrell. You hear John Farrell speak, he's articulate, he speaks well, he's got a plan. I find him to be very similar in that respect to Kevin Cheveldayoff here. Smart, has a plan. We already know what we have in Zinger, similar to what we know like with other Blue Jays guys. We're adding in a new piece here, and from all accounts, it's a good piece, and one who's... The best part about it, guys, is his vision, right?
Yeah. They know what they have in mind for this team.
All due respect to Brian Burke, What was his vision moving in the Leafs? It was to move too quickly through, and that's what happens when you trade that first-round draft pick and the two first-round draft picks for in the Kessel trade. And did you have a vision? Well, right now we know. He has a vision. So now we'll see it. Hopefully see it through.
780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. If you want to talk about what you heard in the interview with Kevin Cheveldayoff, still to come, Craig Heisinger is going to join us. Up-tempo system is what they want to play.
Yes.
Does that sound like a Claude Noel team to you?
Well, you know what, Drew? I got to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know enough about Claude Noel and his beliefs to comment on that, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, hiring a coach is going to be obviously a huge decision for Craig Heisinger and Kevin Cheveldayoff, and we don't know when that's going to come. It's going to probably come in the next few weeks. Maybe it won't. But Claude Noel has proven that he's also a winner, and he's had, you know, a cup of coffee in the NHL, but he's a guy he was a hockey player as well before he became a coach, like many of these guys, and he's obviously familiar with Craig Heisinger and was familiar with him before he was signed as the head coach. So you have to think that if they are going to go in a different direction, he's going to be at the top of that list, right, Drew?
And there's rumors that they've been talking to Todd Richards, Minnesota, former Minnesota head coach, an AHL head coach, and I believe he is, Claude Noel is Todd Richards' mentor. So at least feelers have been sent out, according to reports, I believe, by Michael Russo of the Minneapolis Star Tribune. If that's the case, maybe things are in line for them to get their coaching staff in order and announce it.
Maybe Richards will be an assistant.
Yes, exactly. That's
team name before coach or head coach before team name?
Probably head coach before team name if they can get it in order, Drew. You need to know your head coach before you sign free agents. And I realize, obviously, that Kevin just mentioned, you know, what he kind of wants to play, what he wants in a head coach. He has an idea in mind of what he wants. But You want to be drafting players also with not only drafting but signing more so because it's immediate. With players want to know who the coach is, guys, right? They want to know, and but it's not like July 1st things happen. They start considering their options. Their agents are already talking to them about their options. You get a head coach in place, people know there's no ambiguity. So I would get a head coach in place as soon as possible, certainly prior to the draft, in my opinion.
I would agree with that because I think as a player, you know, when you look at an organization, you want a stable organization. You want to know the head coach that you're playing for. You want to know that you're going to mesh well with them. Everything else about that.
Makes other options seem better because there's more certainty involved.
Exactly right. And that's a very good point. Let's continue on the phones. I believe Freemus puts them on hold. Steve in Calgary, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. How you doing, guys?
I'm doing well this morning.
What's up, Steve? How's it going, Steve?
Oh, I'm doing just fine, thanks. It's a little slow at work today, so I listened to that whole interview with Chevy. Well done.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I'm so pumped for next season. It's unbelievable.
It's a great interview, wasn't it?
Oh, it was, and he's very well-spoken. Mm-hmm. As I was mentioning to your phone screener guy there, I mean, I'm
Remus.
Here in Calgary, I'm used to Daryl Sutter mumbling and making it sound like we're all idiots when we ask him a question.
Right, right. Yeah.
I am so happy that I can follow this Winnipeg franchise. You guys have no idea how refreshing it is. I was wondering if you could ask Zinger a question when he comes on a little bit later. Most NHL teams hold a summer prospects camp, usually in July, and I was just wondering if Winnipeg franchise will be doing that.
We'll ask him. That's a good question, Steve.
Great. All right. You have a good night. Good morning, guys.
Absolutely. Okay,
bye.
That is a good question. I know that Detroit does that and many other franchises do that, and it's a way to... You know, you bring all your young players together because they're playing in all different systems, whether it be the OHL, the WHL, or the NCAA.
Yeah,
the
junior, wherever.
Within the NCAA, the ECHC, or, you know, WCHA, whatever it may be. So that's a good idea.
It's acronym hour here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Well, guys, what a lot of people are asking about is if they're going to bring back the old Jets Wives Carnival, because that was a very popular thing here. Drew can bring his wife to the first carnival.
She's not a Jets wife,
but she's
though.
Drew's wife.
She's still allowed to attend.
So maybe there's going to be a Drew's wife carnival.
Yeah, should there be a Drew's wife carnival?
No, I don't think she wants
to. Do you think they'd be in the same place at lunch, Drew?
I'm fairly confident knowing my bride-to-be that she doesn't want to be a part of a carnival.
What about your other brides?
I don't have any other brides.
Well, Drew,
I think I do know two guys who are going to lose their wedding invitation very quickly.
Remus, you're on the waiting list.
Remus, you're in.
We're getting the thumbs up from Remus.
Exactly. Anyways, I mean, it's all these things. The Jets were sort of a cutting-edge organization on the charity front also, that very few people... Goals for Kids was...
Very successful, Drew.
I think it was the only... I think they were the first franchise to sort of start a goals resulting in donation charity. So that will be something I'm sure they'll bring back to play.
Andrew, I know you want to get to a tweet here, but the Manitoba Moose Yearling Foundation
was
very successful. So... if it's the Yearling Foundation that continues, or they amalgamate it and call it the Goals for Kids, whatever. Winnipeg has always done a tremendous service to the community, and True North is obviously a huge part of that. So whether it's called the Yearling Foundation or Goals for Kids, doesn't matter. We know the players are going to be a huge part of the community.
Absolutely. That's right, and that's part really what entrenches you in a community is the ability to see the players, you know, out and doing things and giving back and everything else along those lines. So that's certainly an important portion of what a team brings to a community nowadays. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. Be like Steve in Calgary. Give us a shout. Talk about whatever's on your mind regarding the NHL, the return of the NHL to Winnipeg. Gentlemen, we're 3 weeks or 2 weeks away for the draft.
Yep.
And we're going to do, obviously, a very comprehensive draft preview. Ezzy, you will be live in Minneapolis for the draft.
Yep.
At the number seven...
Mm-hmm.
What player jumps out at you as a guy that you'd like to see them going after?
You know, again, Drew, I haven't seen many of these players play. I'm hearing people really like Ryan Strome. Again, we're going to get Kyle on here. I'm going to get Corey Prodman back on from Hockey Perspectives to talk about the draft players. I don't know. I just know that by all accounts and people I've talked to, there's certainly going to be a quality, you know, future, hopefully future National Hockey League player at that slot.
Well, Richie,
you wrote the draft preview on the site, Ezzy, so I'll defer to you.
I did a little bit of a draft preview, and I'm by no means a prospect. I obviously follow prospects every year. This year's draft class is a little bit, you know, let's say unheralded compared to previous years. But I actually, you know, I wrote a preview, and I wrote some people think it's strong, some people think it's weak. And we got a few messages, Kyle included, saying that this draft class is actually pretty strong. There's no, Taylor Hall, maybe. But from all reports, Adam Larson's going to be a heck of a defenseman. Gabriel Landeskog.
I'm pretty sure Gabriel Landeskog is 35 years old.
Yeah, and Landeskog.
Like LeBron when he got drafted. Are you sure you're not 35?
I mean, the simple matter is, seventh overall pick is a high pick, and it might be on a player that can jump into the NHL like a Jeff Skinner. So, if it's Ryan Strome or if it's Sean Couturier, I'm actually hearing now that Sean Couturier is probably going to go in the top five.
He's been dropping. Remember, at the beginning it was him at the top, basically,
yeah.
And Nugent Hopkins and Larson and those guys. And Landeskog was kind of a little bit below because his ceiling is not as high. But Couturier's been dropping, and then Huberdeau's been shooting up.
And, Richie, another thing too, about this draft class is that there's a couple of defensemen after Adam Larson, Dougie Hamilton being the one that's the highest rated on most people's list. And even though, you know, their strength might be in defense, Kyle Cozier, who lives in Grand Forks and is obviously part of our team, he's actually pointing out that you go after the best players. So you can never have enough good defensemen. So if True North and Kevin Cheveldayoff and Craig Heisinger think that Dougie Hamilton has a bigger upside as a defenseman, maybe they'll go with him at number seven, Drew, if he's there.
Yeah. I was going to ask, that was going to be my next question. Do you draft for need or do you draft best available?
You draft best player.
Yeah.
National Hockey League, I mean, there's six defensemen, 12 forwards, and two goalies on your roster every night in, night out. You have huge systems. You can take it. You can be patient. I mean, remember, though, Drew, you can't draft based on need because this. I mean, in two years, UFAs for the Winnipeg franchise is Tobias Enstrom's up after next year. So, yeah, Enstrom's up after 2012-13, and so is Hainsey. They need him to be up. And Oduya's up after next year. So, really, the only defenseman on the books for 13-14 are Bufflin and then Mark Stewart.
So 2 years from now, your defense might be a need, even though it isn't right at the moment.
Your need is talent, right?
Right, talent. You can never have too much talent.
Nobody ever
says, I got too much talent on my team. I'm in trouble.
Exactly right.
Drew, we've got a text message actually in from my brother-in-law, so a family text message here. He wants to know, you know, he's saying everyone is caught up in the yet-to-be-named Winnipeg franchise, but is there going to be a farewell to the Manitoba Moose? Or he wants to know, is this just going to be, you know, put them on the bus and bye-bye, because he hasn't heard any support that anything along these lines is going to happen. So
why don't we answer that question or discuss that question after these commercial messages?
All right.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Still to come this morning, Craig Heisinger is going to join us in the next segment.
Can't wait.
We already heard from Kevin Cheveldayoff and Ben Kuzma. If you missed any of the program, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on iTunes. Also, subscribe. Get the show sent to you each and every week. You can follow us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. And, of course, make sure to bookmark www.illegalcurve.com. That is your home for hockey in Winnipeg. Richie, I'm going to start with this. Our good buddy, Matty Leibel, you'll hear him tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock here on Sports Radio 1290. Just sent us an email reminding us that the last time a Winnipeg NHL franchise had the seventh overall pick, 1995, they drafted Shane Doan. It was also thought to be not a particularly special draft class. So you never know what you're going to get.
I see Kyle K, which is Kyle Kozier we're talking about. He'll be at the draft with Ezzy in 2 weeks for Illegal Curve. Again, if you want to follow him on Twitter, I see Kyle, so I see Illegal Curve. I see Kyle K. Says, Sean Couturier has dropped because he was sick all year and is a skater. Huberdeau is good, but has the benefits of repeated viewing. So Huberdeau, if you don't know, made it all the way to the Memorial Cup.
Won the
Mem Cup. And if you remember back in the day, I mean, but when I remember certain players who make it to the Mem Cup, whether it be like a guy like a Christian Dubé already drafted, but they get a little more hype and a little more attention than they get to the National Hockey League. They're not bad, but maybe they're not as good as some people thought because, again, as Kyle said, repeated viewings.
I don't mind drafting a guy who's, you know, was thought of to be a top pick, who drops a little bit for whatever reason, who might come in with a chip on his shoulder.
You know, necessarily that depends on the player, though, Drew.
Of course, it depends on the player.
Phil Kessel was a top pick and then dropped, I think, number five with Boston. He was considered with Crosby originally and never really turned out to be the dominant player that people thought he might be at his young age. Similar to Angelo Esposito, tanked a little bit more, obviously, than that. So it depends on the personality.
And we also...
Because if you're not getting better, if you're not getting better in the CHL against younger players, or whatever league you're playing in. And that's a sign, generally, that you're not progressing as you're supposed to be.
And I think that Couturier is going to be one of those guys that if we're not expecting him to go in the top two or three, but I think he'll be given a look probably at 5 and 6 by, I believe, the Islanders and Ottawa pick ahead of Winnipeg. But if we end up getting him, he's probably going to be, you know, maybe arguably one of the most ready guys to step into the NHL. Because, Drew, he was the only 17-year-old that played for Team Canada at the World Junior Championships. But
he's got a pedigree.
When you look at the players, they're going to have a good player coming in. And maybe initially I was thinking this isn't going to be a draft. But, you know, after getting a couple emails from Kyle and actually analyzing it, there's some good players out there. You know, even going to the 10 to 15 slot. So it's going to be a lot of fun being at the draft in Minneapolis. And it's going to be so much fun when Kevin Cheveldayoff and Craig Heisinger go up to the podium with Mark Chipman. I don't know if Mark Chipman will go up there, but they will for sure, and make the first ever draft pick. Because then, you know, that's going to be another face of the franchise, Drew. You know, we talked about Andrew Ladd and Dustin Byfuglien and Andre Pavlich and Chris Mason, all these guys that are coming to Winnipeg. They're already the face of our franchise, but that's going to be the young face of the franchise, absolutely, along with Kane and Bogosian. It's going to be lots of fun.
You think there's any possibility they unveil the name of the team at the draft when they make that 7th overall pick?
They got to do it before.
I think so, Drew. You want to kind of enjoy it before you just...
You tell the entire city we're going to make the announcement. You do it simultaneously. You have viewing parties throughout the city.
Drew, say it's not the Jets. Say it is...
I think they would only...
Drew, say it's the Falcons, for example, and then they get up and they overshadow the draft pick with the change of the name. So, no, I don't think they're going to do that.
Okay. And Drew, our good friend Neil Rockman made a good point. When the Jets left to Phoenix, apparently they didn't have a logo or jersey, so they just went up there with a color or something. I don't remember that, but apparently they didn't have the Coyotes. Is that correct? That's what Neil was telling us. But
I didn't follow
right.
Follow
it was 16 years ago.
I didn't follow that team once they left.
Richard was a jilted lover.
I was a jilted lover.
I understand. Our Twitter page is especially busy today. That's at Illegal Curve on Twitter. We had a guy, I.K. Kotol, C-O-T-O-L on Twitter, who messaged us and said, who should drop the puck on opening night?
That's a good question.
I think that is a hell of a good question.
I'm going to throw out a name, Thomas Steen.
Nah. They won't do that, though.
Doesn't do it for me. Too political.
Who does do it for you? Too political.
He's a city councilor now.
It has nothing to do with politics. Well, there could be a lot of guys. It could be...
I'd rather see Teppo. Teppo's a guy who sort of disappeared off the face of the earth.
Maybe Dale Hawerchuk?
Why wouldn't you do it now? Lots of times they bring out like four guys and they all just drop the puck.
What about Bobby Hall?
Bobby's always an option.
It's got to be one of the three guys that, if you're going to go with the player, it's got to be one of those three.
I like Bobby. I mean, that's what hockey started here. You're bringing it back.
There's a poll. Anybody who wants to chime in on that, of course, you can send us your comments at Illegal Curve. And there's a poll going on at www.illegalcurve.com. Go into the Cover It Live chat.
Like, who should drop the first puck?
Who should drop the first puck?
What are the options?
Right now, the Mark Chipman and David Thompson are running away with it with 67% of the vote.
Of course, we would defer to them to be the ones to do that. But knowing what we know about them, I don't think they would like the attention.
It seems as though they've never liked the spotlight, so it'd be surprising to... I'm sure they'll be fed it accordingly, on that opening night. But as for dropping the puck, I mean, it would be like the equivalent of who's going to light the Olympic torch. Mm-hmm. You know, there'd be a lot of anticipation. There'd be a lot of buzz.
What about Dallas Eakins?
He'll be the head coach of the Toronto Marlies.
What about Batsy Erickson? Is he available?
I'm not sure.
Is he available? Anybody will be available.
I would imagine, yes.
Does anybody in this room, though, think that it's not going to be Claude Noel?
I don't. I think it's going to be Noel.
I'd have to think so based on the relationship that he has with Craig Heisinger, but I don't have any inside information, but I think he would be a good choice.
You know what impressed me most? I didn't watch enough Moose. I went to, you know, my usual half a dozen or so Moose games last year. But I'm not certainly not an expert on the style they played or anything along those lines. But what impressed me most was in the playoffs, and I know I've said this before, but in the playoffs, in both the first and second round, that team was down 3-1.
And they came back.
If that team doesn't believe in their head coach and in themselves, they just they roll over and die. So it impressed me that they came back to win that first round series, and I mean they lost in double overtime in game 7 of the second round. So Claude Noel's stock rose in my mind simply based on the performance of that Moose team in the first and second round of the playoffs.
I like the idea of new blood too.
You know, new blood in terms of
the NHL. NHL is tends to recycle.
Yeah, they tend to recycle.
And,
you're right.
And why not give somebody a new chance?
Young, hungry.
It works for people. You know, second time around, Mike Babcock, for example, with Anaheim, then with Detroit. It depends on the person, depends on the personality. But I like to see a new a new voice here and within it with speaking about the National Hockey League, and I would be completely fine with happy with Claude Noel being the coach. Again, there's a familiarity there. A lot of the times too, you like a familiarity between a coach and a general manager. When there's a little bit of a question mark surrounding a hire, sometimes they're not on the same page. That can cause some discontent within the locker room and within the organization.
Somebody just tweeted, "What about Dan Snyder's family dropping the first puck?"
That would be a very also good decision.
That would be a very good decision. Yeah. It just seems odd.
I have no problem with, I mean, there's also an article in today's Winnipeg Free Press.
It makes it a little more somber, doesn't it, Drew?
I think so.
Sorry, Drew, I'll let you continue here, but if it isn't the first game, at some point in the season, that would be a classy move.
Yeah, well, I mean, what they said, there's an article in today's Free Press that said they're going to continue. There's an award that the franchise already gives out to a player, you know, perseverance, you know, in honor of Dan Snyder.
Should be called after him.
Or inspirational.
Named after him.
It already is named after him.
That'll continue.
I don't.
Yeah, they should carry that tradition on definitely.
Yeah. Someone in the chat room on www.illegalcurve.com suggested, what about Dan Gabe to drop the first pass?
Oh, that'd be good.
I can get on board with that.
I like that.
I can get on board with that. I think there's something, you know.
Bobby Hall, Danny, something that signifies Winnipeg. I mean, don't get me wrong. All due respect to the Snyder family. It's a terrible loss, what else can you say about that? And that would be a nice event for another night, I think. I think this night's just all about excitement. And you'd want, and it just is a little bit of a lack of connection there, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290, if you want to get in on...
I'd be interested to see, Drew, sorry to interrupt there, but interested to see if Winnipeg makes any trades at the draft. I don't think they'll be that active in terms of trades because they're still getting their house in order, but remember that lots of things happen at the on the draft floor. I mean, my experience being at the draft in Montreal 2 years ago, Ezzy, and you'll see this when you're at the draft this year. What you really do see is a ton of action. GMs are talking to each other all the time. Maybe they're chit-chatting, but likely they're negotiating trades and etc. So it'll be interesting from your perspective to see how active Kevin Cheveldayoff and Craig Heisinger are on the floor at the draft. And also the question is, and we're going to speak to Zinger about this, the scouting staff, who's in place. If not everything is exactly in order by then, do you want to start trading chips? And how much are you how much weight do you put into the scouting staff from Atlanta? How much do you put into the Moose scouting staff and whatever that becomes? There's many questions that go along with it. So I'd be very interested to see if there are a lot of trades. Now, of course, trading draft picks for draft picks is a different story. But players sometimes are involved. And even draft pick for draft pick, who's rating who and who likes each player.
You talk about the scouting, and let's interrupt there for a quick second. People seem to think that, you know, the scouts aren't going to come with the franchise to Winnipeg. The scouts don't live in Atlanta for the most part.
That's true.
There's scouts throughout the country that just work for the organization. They live, you know, there'll be a scout in charge of the Western Canada.
Exactly. They live. So a Western Canada scout lives in Western Canada.
That's right. He doesn't.
OHL scout lives in Toronto.
Exactly. He's employed by Atlanta, but it's not like he has to move lock, stock, and barrel from Atlanta up to Winnipeg.
They come
in
for the scouting meetings. They use the internet. They have a scouting program. They put the information to, and it centralizes over to the headquarters.
Exactly. So it's not like they're going to be moving with the franchise or anything like that. They still might be employed by the new franchise, but that's yet to be determined. So
I think it'll be a mix, Drew, of new and old.
Yeah, I think there probably will be too. But it's not like they have loyalty and they're going to be upset because they have to move their families from Atlanta or anything. So that's not a concern for anybody. Let's head to commercial break. When we come back, Craig Heisinger. We know him as Zinger, and you'll hear from him on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Thirty in the morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. And little Bruce is going to lead us in to the Hockey Show Hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Craig Heisinger, Senior Vice President and Director, Hockey Operations and Assistant General Manager of the new Winnipeg NHL franchise. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're doing very well. Do I even need to make the joke about the long title, or have you heard it all already?
No. I'll send you one of those folding business cards when I get it.
Appreciate that. Craig, before we begin, first of all, congratulations from all of us here. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy as far as we're concerned.
I appreciate that. Thanks very much.
Going back to your roots, when you decided not to go with the Jets to Phoenix and stayed behind to start your new job with the Moose, did you ever think that you'd be in the position that you're in today?
No, absolutely not, because the truth of the matter is, I never
don't take this the wrong way, but I never aspired for this job. I loved being an equipment guy, and that's clearly I stayed back. I made the decision that I would continue on in my current job as the equipment guy with the Moose, and I was perfectly perfectly happy and satisfied doing that. But because of a few twists of fate and different things happening, my career wound up taking a couple of different turns. But as it turns out, I guess it was a good decision because I never missed out on any opportunities as an equipment guy, and I guess I made some new opportunities on the management side.
Singer, it's a unique situation that has been devised between yourself and Mr. Cheveldayoff. What about this relationship makes you comfortable?
You know what, Chevy and I go back a long time as I was the equipment guy in Brandon when he was a player, and he was different than most players. I mean, he was a bright, articulate guy. He was the Scholastic Player of the Year in the Western League for a couple years in a row. He was just one of those guys you take to. I mean, there's an age difference, but not a significant age difference. And even between all the wars with the Wolves and everything, we always remain on each other's support group or different information on players or teams or organizations. So just can't tell you the level of comfort. I mean, Chevy's the type of guy for me. We might not talk for a couple of months, but, you know, you pick up the phone and talk to him, you'll probably talk for half an hour. So, I mean, it's just one of those unique situations. I mean, it's not the devil you know versus the devil you don't by any stretch, but usually when you bring people into an organization, you know them or they're partially friends or whatever, but the history is long and deep, and I think that'll bode well for the future.
Totally agree. Zinger, you were here in Winnipeg when we lost the Jets, and a number of people, many people, lost their jobs. Was it, did it resonate with you yesterday and when you were in Atlanta letting people know that they weren't going to be coming with the franchise?
You know, as I said when I talked, especially to the trainers in Atlanta there, I've sat on the other side of the table and know how it feels. It's a little bit different from the situation when the franchise left Winnipeg to go to Phoenix. They were going to a completely different market with no sort of hockey personnel in place. Mm-hmm. And that would be a completely different situation in Winnipeg, where we've run a very good organization for the past 15 years. And as much as it's not completely plug and play, I would put the current organization, which is True North in Manitoba, up against, somewhere at least half of any NHL organizations that currently exist.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Craig Heisinger, Senior Vice President and Director of Hockey Operations and Assistant General Manager for the new Winnipeg NHL franchise. I wish I got paid by the word for that title. Zinger, you know, the draft is rapidly approaching. It's, you know, 2 weeks less a day away from the first round. Will Moose Director of Player Personnel Bruce Southern have an integral role in the draft and personnel and scouting decisions moving forward?
Not likely. It would be very disrespectful for us not to move forward. And probably not real wise to not move forward with the current people that are in place with Atlanta's scouting system. I mean, we're certainly going to have our input, especially in the early rounds, but they're the people that have done all the work up until this point. They're the ones that are most qualified to do it. Certainly Chevy will have some impact because he'll have paid more attention to the draft-eligible players than we have, because our focus when we're scouting is totally different than the NHL. We're looking for the guys that have slipped through the cracks, that are the college seniors or the 19 and 20-year-olds. So the impact we can have is if there's trades or throw-ins at the American League or, you know, overage junior players or college seniors. But the input that Bruce or I could have at the amateur level in the draft would be minimal unless there was trades involved.
Post-draft, do you see him continuing on in a strong scouting and player personnel role?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right now his role, not 100% sure how that's going to play out, but we are definitely we're still responsible for our American League team in St. John's, and he's likely to play an integral part in that, no different than he has in the past, of paying attention to the American League and the East Coast League and being responsible for our personnel there.
a quick aside on the Moose moving to St. John. It sounds like True North is going to continue to own the team, at least for this season. Is that the plan still going forward?
That won't change. It would make no sense not to own our own franchise. It's valuable. It's finally paid off. To have your own American League, to own your own American League franchise, is an extremely valuable asset. Really excited to be in St. John's. Was there for the press conference there yesterday. Their city is very similar to ours. The AHL is the best quality of hockey they've had there, and they're very happy to have a team back, and looks like it's really going to be supported well.
You must be racking up the frequent flyer miles.
Right now I am, but that should slow down here come July, middle of July anyway.
Zinger, from an organizational standpoint, is the presence of a salary cap, in your opinion, the biggest difference between running an AHL team and an NHL team?
Well, certainly the salary cap is something I don't have a whole lot of knowledge or experience with. I think it really puts a lot of stress on you if you're one of those teams that are up against it and have to manage it every day. I would suggest that we won't be one of those teams initially that are up against it and have to manage it every day. But it is something that will be not one of my strong suits, at least to start, and we'll have to pay a lot of attention to learning that.
There's been some concern, and obviously none in this room, but some concern maybe outside of Winnipeg, about convincing free agents to come and play in Winnipeg among other small Canadian cities. Yet, as GM of the Moose, you've never had a problem convincing free agents to make Winnipeg their home, unless you tell us otherwise. But why wasn't that a problem for the Moose?
Well, in the American Hockey League, this was obviously one of the plum places to play,
right?
Here, Hershey, Chicago, Hartford, places like that. I mean, there are obviously bigger markets in the American League, but I think when the NHL team was here before, we fought that, and we had to do all the little things correctly to make it a good place to play, and we never really changed our philosophy, or I can tell you 100% we never changed our philosophy, and we continued to do those little things through the American Hockey League, and I think it paid dividends for us, and we're going to have to continue to do those things. I'm not saying that we're going to automatically transfer to be one of the best places to play in the NHL, but we are going to do our best that that players, that we get a good reputation, that we work as hard as we can, that we provide the facilities, and we've said a million times in the American League that we give you an environment that you can come here and have success in, and the rest is up to you, and that's not really going to change. We're going to do everything we can to make this as good a place as, under our control, to play in the NHL. We can't control the weather in the winter, but we will do as much as we can to make that secondary for the players and their families.
A sauna in every free agent's house.
Zinger, you spoke about being equipment manager and how that's helped you moving forward. Can you speak a little bit about that experience and how maybe you have a better understanding of the inner workings of a locker room than maybe some other executives do?
I'm not sure that I have a better understanding, and I've been removed from that environment for quite some time, although I probably still dabble in it, much to the chagrin of our current equipment guys. But, I mean, that's the foundation for whatever perceived success I may have had, is understanding the little things that make a difference. And at the end of the day, the lifeline and the bloodline of your team is the players. Mm-hmm. And whether they're on your team now or you're currently trying to recruit them, the little things and that you take the time that don't fall through the cracks, whether they help somebody now or somebody remembers them and tells them to another player that you're currently or you're trying to recruit down the road, as long as you don't take shortcuts, I think those things play great dividends. I cut my teeth learning those things from Randy Carlyle, that when things went wrong, it was mostly everybody's fault but Randy's. So you learn to try to take care of all the little details so there was no issues going forward. And I've always tried to do that. People laugh at all the lists I have going. But for me, lists and not forgetting about the little things that make a difference in people's and players' lives have boded well for us in this organization.
Zinger, a lot of franchises have started to run a prospects camp, sort of in the July, you know, late July, early August sort of area. Is there any talk about this organization doing something similar?
No, not this year. Atlanta had canceled their prospects camp. It was supposed to run starting on July 1st for 5 weeks with five players coming in a week when the it looked like they were not going to be continuing in Atlanta. They changed it. And I think going forward, just with the duress that we're under with all the time restraints, that doing a prospects camp for this year wouldn't be feasible, but it will be something that we do going forward, but we will not do it for this year.
Okay. Final question here, Zinger. We asked Mr. Cheveldayoff off this about an hour ago, so we'll ask you as well. Throughout your career, who has been your greatest influence?
Oh, for me, Randy Carlyle.
Without a doubt?
Oh, without question. Randy would be first and foremost. Mark Chipman would be right there as well, as would Bob Murray from the Anaheim Ducks.
I think it's quite apropos that the Ducks will be playing in Winnipeg this coming NHL season. So you and Randy can tip a few, and the fans can stand and salute Timu as they all want to do.
There you go.
Craig Heisinger, Senior Vice President and Director of Hockey Operations and Assistant General Manager, thanks very much for joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for the interest.
Take care, Zinger.
Bye-bye.
Let's head to commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk about the interview. We'll wrap it up with one final segment. Cheers and jeers. All the good stuff. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290.
I think this song really... I feel like you're all my brothers.
How's that muffin?
I'm going to show. July 2nd. I'm in. I got a ticket. Sign me up for a tuck.
One tuck, one no tuck.
One tuck. Lupe. That's the where they go to the Miss America pageant in Atlantic City?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure. Typical Seinfeld reference, and Ezzy's now eating his muffin. Looks like apple muffin, Ezzy?
Yep.
Oh, good to know.
Ez, you're going to fill up before lunch. You're not going to be hungry.
Yeah, Ez, what are you going to do for lunch?
You're going to ruin
it's
your
It's not
appetite.
Possible when you're of this girth.
You do have a new shirt today, though.
Yeah, it's a new shirt. Picked it up, ironed it. Put it on, ready to go.
Who irons their T-shirts? Anyways, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. One final segment. Last segment we heard from Craig Heisinger. Just both the guys, both Kevin Cheveldayoff and both Craig Heisinger, we had them on this morning. They were both honest. They were both candid. I thought they were both great, just great interviews and really insightful into the kind of organization they want to put together. I mean, it should come to as no surprise, if you've been following the Moose at all, that both these guys are classy, top-notch individuals.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's lots to be encouraged about before, and even more so, I think, after speaking to them today. I just, both class acts, first and foremost. I think that's the most important, and I think both of the vision, they bring different attributes to the table. And, you hear Zinger talk about the cap, and you hear, knowing your limitations and knowing what you need to learn is also an amazing thing. I think Zinger also understates his importance in terms of a lot of other things that he brings to the table. So, I mean, he wouldn't be the one to tell you about what he brings. Other people would. But he brings a lot of attributes that I think Kevin Cheveldayoff probably needs as to complement. So they complement each other, and I think that's a tremendous team. And again, as talked about it every hour of the show, they're not going to be yes-men to each other. You can't have yes-men in the National Hockey League.
No, it doesn't work.
Yeah,
but, I mean, you respectfully disagree, and you build the best team possible. Winning is what solves every problem.
And you know what, guys? I loved what Mark Chipman said about the hiring of Cheveldayoff and Heisinger. And these guys are guys that have been around and are well-connected in the NHL. He said, we could have hired, a couple of guys wearing Armani suits, but we decided to hire guys. And he's basically saying, these are my guys. These are the guys I was always going to go with when the NHL came back to Winnipeg, and I'm going to stick by these guys through thick and thin. And I don't think anybody has any at least I don't, and I believe we don't have any, questions or concerns that these guys are not going to make most of the right decisions. Obviously, there's going to be some issues further down the road. But
Chipman seems like the kind of guy who goes shopping and knows exactly what he wants to get. He looks at it. He goes, I want this. I'm going to take this. That's what I want. He's not going to look for 45 minutes. Oh, this looks nice. Oh, that looks nice. Oh, maybe that would be good. I'm not going to get anything, or I'm not sure. He makes decisions quickly. He's firm in his decisions. He's confident in them, and he trusts his, the knowledge that he's put together in his gut, it seems like. And that, that's a leader, right?
Yeah, somebody who's decisive. You can't be an indecisive leader.
You can't waver.
No, there's no waffling.
No waffling.
No, exactly.
What about chomping and champing?
You can't dither. No dithering.
You're going to be waffling after a lunch, aren't you, Drew?
I'm a big waffle guy.
Does any place in the city serve waffles?
It's a good question.
Waffle House.
Does that exist?
That doesn't exist.
Pancake House.
That serves pancakes.
And waffles. not. I had a waffle cone last night.
Yes? And Remus?
You know, guys, we just got a comment in the chat from a listener. The tuck, no tuck was actually from when they go to Chase Kramer in L.A.
No, I don't think that's right.
I just Googled it.
You know what?
No, no, no. It's the Miss America.
It's the Miss America the Miss pageant America in Atlantic pageant. City.
Maybe you Googled it?
I Googled.
You have to talk into the mic if you want to.
I Googled. I don't know. I'll have to double check.
Okay, keep Googling and we'll come back to
you. Who's Kramer's friend that ate horse?
Jay Reimers.
Jay Reimers, everybody knows that.
My friend Jay Reimers, my eats horse all the time.
He eats horse all the time. Yeah, I've never eaten horse.
But you've wanted to.
No, I've
never eaten horse. Just like
in terms of this week, I think we should talk about guys quickly. I know we're having a little joking stint. In terms of moving forward this week, the draft isn't 2 weeks yesterday.
Yes.
I think this week you're likely going to hopefully see a coach hired.
I would think that would be their plan.
And so then the week after, that'll be probably an announcement on the. I would expect a coach probably hired by Tuesday, Wednesday, and then jerseys unveiled or team name
the
unveiled
week after.
By the Monday, and then the draft on the Friday.
I think they're going to wait on the jerseys until the team is officially approved on the 21st.
Okay, so that's the Tuesday.
That's the Tuesday.
So Wednesday jerseys.
I think you'll see. I think that's exactly that way. They'll keep the spotlight this week with the head coach announcement. Just strict speculation right now. But they keep the spotlight with the head coach announcement. They keep the spotlight the week after with the team announcement.
And the draft.
And the official approval of the franchise. Yeah. And then on Friday, Saturday, you got the draft, and you're going to start getting your prospects into town. And, I mean, you don't think that 7th overall pick is going to be coming up from Minneapolis the next day?
You wonder if it'll be some kind of a coaching group with, Claude Noel as the head coach, and maybe a Todd Richards and Brad Berry's assistants with maybe another assistant in there.
Well, it seems that based on so far, it seems that True North likes to go with what they know.
Yeah.
So that would seem to make a lot of sense on paper, especially the Noel Richards ties. Richards being his mentor.
And our correspondent Kyle would think that Brad Berry would be a part of that, so that's why I threw him in there. So.
Well, and for everyone that doesn't know, Brad Berry was an assistant in Manitoba.
Yeah, that's right.
Has been an assistant in Manitoba.
Exactly right.
Maybe that in the form of a coaching group, which is quite a strong coaching group. I'm not sure if they want to bring other people in and the goalie coaches and if Rick St. Croix would stay on, whatever it may be. I think that might be the base of a coaching hire. And I think that I think that will probably be something that we'll see within this week.
Yeah. And as an interesting aside, Brad Berry is a member of the all-food team.
That's true, he is.
Berry. Mm.
Remus?
I know that's something that people think about a lot. So.
Yeah.
The all-food team?
Insane people like me think about
it. Yeah, just a Seinfeld update. It is Season 4, Episode 1, The Trip, where Jerry goes to the Jay Leno show.
Really?
Tuck, no tuck.
No. That when George tries to talk to
Corbin Burnson about and George Wentz.
About the cat idea?
Yes, the cat idea.
Well, I'm surprised. It's rare that we're all wrong on our Seinfeld trivia.
Yeah.
That's surprising. We apologize to our listeners for that. We bring you the best interviews, but today we were a little slacking on our Seinfeld trivia. I hope nobody will take it too personally.
Two tucks.
Yeah. Off topic a little bit as it relates to specifically the NHL. But I just want to point out, I think it's fabulous that the Bombers are shattering their season ticket sales record.
Yeah, 18,000 plus.
I think they're
going to be season ticket holders, are we not?
Well, we'll see if we're still friends after the show.
I'm not sure. Okay.
But
I think that's a sign on which section. Drew likes the upper deck.
I think they're over.
Shocking.
I think they're over 19,000 actually on they season tickets.
Oh, 19 now.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really a golden age for sports in Winnipeg.
Sure is.
I mean, and it's amazing, and it's great to see everybody doing well.
If you build it, they will come.
Well, they're going to build a new football stadium, so we'll see. It seems as though they want to go. People want to go to that, so they're buying their
tickets. That's what you said about the poutinery.
The what?
The poutinery is now what it's called.
Oh, the poutinery.
Yeah. All we need is the Winnipeg Cyclone back, and we're good.
Yeah.
Thunder. Is Henry Bibby coming with the Thunder?
The Thunder? I don't know. How about we just go to Cheers and Cheers instead?
Let's do it.
Okay, that's a good plan as opposed to this.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy. And Cheers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something straight like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Muffin Man, Ezra Ginsberg.
Awesome muffin.
Weren't you the one who suggested the team be called the Winnipeg Muffins, and then Leah Hextall looked at you and said, what is wrong with you?
It's trending on Twitter right now. A lot of people are liking the muffins, Manitoba Muffins. It's got a built-in sponsor with muffins, and, I mean, it just makes you hungry for a jersey. Am I going first for Cheers and Jeers?
I don't know what you're doing, but let's go with that.
I'm going to cheer Kevin Cheveldayoff and Craig Heisinger, not only for coming on our show, but, for being the new management team that True North has selected, just being extremely candid and excited to take over the first the first year of our new NHL team. So awesome for those guys coming on the show, and it's great that they're in position now and all ready to go signing players and looking ahead to the draft.
Okay.
I was actually going to cheer them too.
I'm shocked that both of you were.
This is awkward, Richie.
But what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to actually cheer True North for taking some of those tickets away from those scammers who have been buying it online and trying to sell it with StubHub and such. I think that's a great move. We need more of those guys out, and we need more of the true fans from Winnipeg in.
What number are you on the waiting list?
Well, yeah, my Wildcats is on the waiting list. I think, well, we don't know. Like, they tell you the number that's on that details isn't actually the number, but we're pretty sure it is the number. I think it's like 1,000.
Okay. So you want about 1,000 people to lose their seats?
Well, yeah, that's not the self-interest purposes, Drew. I mean, that is...
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, there's enough about these guys coming in from New Jersey, buying these tickets online, and not allowing people who are true fans to be able to go at a reasonable price.
Michael Remus?
I'm going to cheer the Sedin twins. You know, Mike Milbury made some comments about them the other day.
Thelma and Louise?
On Hockey Night Canada, calling Thelma and Louise, and they basically fired back at him and said, hey, look at his GM record in Long Island. So I'll give props for handling it in a classy manner.
I can't argue with that.
If he had the Sedins, he would have traded them for Ola Kvasha and Mark Parrish.
I'm still wondering why people employ Mike Milbury, be it a franchise,
well,
be it
you
television.
Know what? I'll tell you exactly why.
Because he makes comments like that.
Exactly.
Even though they're asinine.
You know he had that bodyguard at the game yesterday.
Well, I know. I'm surprised the bodyguard didn't turn on him.
And apparently you were doing squats at the gym, Drew, so was that you?
I saw Drew at the gym doing leg press.
Ooh, Drew.
How much can you leg press?
I can't press as much as you're pressing that apple muffin right now. Let me tell you that.
Cheer, cheer, Drew.
I'm going to wrap up Cheers and Jeers by jeering the Vancouver Canucks fans. You know, you can't boo your goaltender off the ice one game and then pretend that to give him a standing ovation and that all is fine the next game. Your schizophrenia is beyond, it's the Stanley Cup Finals. You cheer your team, you support your team, you root for your team. You don't start turning on them at that point in time.
Olympic gold winner, Vezina nominee, tremendous numbers really since November. What else do you want from this guy?
Exactly. What else do you want from him? It's, you know, just cheer him. That's all you have to
and
do.
And we should clarify, we're not jeering all of Vancouver's fans. They've got great fans. We're just jeering the ones that are booing Luongo.
Yeah. So, do you need a bodyguard now? Are you worried about it?
Remus is my bodyguard, so.
We're all in trouble in that case.
I'm good there.
That's it for this week on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We'd like to extend our big thank yous to Ben Kuzma of the Vancouver province, to Kevin Cheveldayoff, the new general manager of Winnipeg NHL franchise, and to Craig Heisinger of the new NHL franchise. In case you missed any of this program or any of those interviews, they will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on iTunes, subscribe, and get the show sent to you automatically each and every Saturday. We encourage you to follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And, of course, you can continue to check out www.illegalcurve.com each and every day, multiple times per day, for all your hockey news. We encourage you to stay tuned to Sports Radio 1290 for the best in local and national sports programming. Coming up this afternoon, live from Wayne Gretzky's, featuring Winnipeg's very own Rod Black. And, of course, tonight, Goldeyes coverage with Paul Edmonds. And tomorrow evening, the sports wrap-up show with Matt and Marcou. Big thank you to Tim for doing his fabulous job. Until next Saturday morning, if it's Saturday, this is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Join us again for serious hockey talk Saturday morning at 9, exclusively on Sports Radio 1290. Sports Radio 1290, CFRW, Winnipeg.
Got it inside, and 5, touchdown!
A division of Bell Media. When you want sports.
Virginia has won the national championship for 2011.
Think Sports Radio 1290.
He has won in USAC. He has won in ARCA. And today he is a NASCAR winner, Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
It's sports. All sports. Nothing but sports.
First pitch swinging by Brian Myro, an RBI single. Fish win. Fish win. Win a marathon tonight.
Sports Radio 1290.
The summer premiere you've been waiting for has arrived.
Can you believe us?
Pretty Little Liars returns for an all-new season of lies.
If I'm lying, where is he?
But not everything can be buried.
He's dead. Someone moved the body. Who would do that?